We talked about last week, I thought they said Romans 5, but it's actually Romans 6. We were talking about being baptized into death and being partakers of his death, and that kind of thing. Now, I want to deal with the other aspect after resurrection. By the way, I had some really nice comments about the S factor, emails and Facebook, and it was kind of funny. Oh, you weren't here. He doesn't know about the S factor. Anyway, you know, we talked about last week the death and the burial and the resurrection. And then the ascension on high. And you have already been partakers of all of that by faith. You say, well, I don't feel resurrected. You know what? Let me ask a question. How many in here and on the internet feel like 2 + 2 = 4? Everybody feel that way? How do you feel about that, Renee? Patty, you said you felt, how was your feeling? What did you feel? You know what? Whether you felt it or not doesn't change the fact that 2 + 2 = 4. Feelings don't enter into the picture. People always want to go, I want to feel it. Facts you don't have to feel. You just believe facts. You understand? I'm trying to give a dramatic example to faith. You believe something by faith because it's true. I believe that 2 + 2 = 4. I don't feel 2 + 2. That is not a feeling. It's a belief. You believe facts. You feel emotions. Y'all understand? You believe facts. You feel emotions. And you don't want to distinguish. And that's, we get very hard. And one of the reasons there's so many arguments between husbands and wives, I know that nobody here probably ever does that. But, I mean, you know, you'll probably, like Brendan and I, go down the hall quoting scriptures, you know, and, you know, as you pass and all that. But in the argument, why you get emotional is because the facts are being disputed. If the facts were laid out, it wouldn't be emotional. It would be what it is. So what they do in a court of law is they try to bring out all the facts so the jury doesn't get emotionally tied in. Does that make sense? They're deciding based upon fact, not emotion. I mean, you can get emotional. How many? I know this sounds weird. Hopefully I won't regret saying this. You kind of felt bad for Dr. Who was the one with the Silence of the Lamb? Hannibal Lecter. You kind of feel sad for him at the end. You almost feel sorry for him. You know what I mean? The point that I'm trying to... Well, yeah, but I mean, during some of that you're like, boy, you know, he's got it rough. Yeah, but he ate a few people along the way. The facts are, you know what I'm saying? You can almost feel sympathetic.
Made it to prison, but at the same time, you don't.
Exactly. I mean, you all understand that? But the facts are the facts. And so what you have to do as a jury is remove your emotions and based upon the evidence. But before we read in Romans 6, go to Hebrews 11. Look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. This is what the Bible says. Now, faith is the substance. What is substance? Something real. Something obvious. Something you can touch. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Even though you can't see it, faith is the evidence of that. It's the fact of it. The word evidence is a Greek word that is also convicted. Proof. Convicted. Conviction. Proof. Same Greek word. Why? It's the absolute proof. It's the evidence. See, faith is the thing that you need to be able to touch that is real, which is the evidence. And again, is it about your feelings? No, it's about your belief. Okay? Look in verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is the whole object here. And so go back to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 is dealing with faith. I'm going to start in verse 1, but I want to get down below the cross where we talked about last time, just a little bit on the evidence of things that is beyond. And you can't see these things. All you can see them in is at Scripture and taking God at His Word. Here's a great saying. God said it, I believe it, and that settled it. You got that, Brother Moore? You used to say that all the time. And it's really not a true statement. I wrote that down in my Bible years and years ago. If you think about it, God said it, that settled it. Whether I believed it or not. My belief didn't make it or confirm it or solidified it or made it right. It was right before I ever got it. And I thought about that statement. But the fact that he believed it, he says, it's settled in my mind. Not, it was settled. When God said it, it was settled. Y'all understand? It is not an object that needs to be debated. And you know, people always talk to me about all the different versions of the Bible. That's one of the reasons I'm like that. Because I want to be able to take God at His Word. What He said. With no doubt, no question. Wayne had on his Facebook account, did y'all see that, anybody? Where he had a... you don't know what Facebook is? Oh, you're missing out. Me and Renee, man, we're like Facebook. Man, it's the latest craze happening in the world. You'd have to be on planet Xena.
I hate things that happen.
Yeah, it is almost unbelievable. But anyway, Wayne had testing your knowledge of the NIV. And so he gets all the quotes and he leaves the words to fill it in. And when you go through the test, you realize that none of those things are there. And they're like major things. And the point that I'm telling you that is you've got to be steadfast what you believe. All you've got is the words written in here. You can't go by your feelings. How do you know that there's a God? How many here feel like there's a God? One? I don't feel that there's a God. I know that there's a God based upon the Word. Have I ever seen God? Have I ever felt Him? No. You know, I've walked many a time out in that slow, still, waiting for that small, still voice to come upon me. You know, it never came. Everything I know about God, everything I know about Him came because of the words.
Amen.
That's the only way I know Him. If someone didn't have a King James Bible, or let's just for a minute say a Bible, how would you know of God? So when my mom said, well, my mom used to say cleanliness was next to godliness. That wasn't true. My parents, I don't know about yours, used to say God would help those that... Oh, your parents told you the same thing, didn't they? And those things are not true. God helps those that can't help themselves. That's the whole point. If you could save yourself, then He died in vain, according to Galatians 2. Yes.
One thing I always get is them too.
Well, no. Well, I can get into that. I won't do that tonight, but it's something we ought to get into because it's really important.
That's the excuse I always get.
There's a book. Write this down. There's a book out there that you need to get. It's a 98-page book. You need to get this book. It's called Let's Weigh the Evidence. It's a little red book. It's no thicker than probably 100, 110 pages. Let's Weigh the Evidence. And you read it. It will blow your mind. They're not even coming from the same source. Words are all we have. John 1. That's exactly right. They're equal. This is taking me.
Our argument is, which version is the right version?
Well, you can tell that. Go to John 1 for a minute, just a minute. Dale brought up the right point. Now, this wasn't what I was going to preach on, but it'll fit into there. I'll mix it all in at the end here. Obviously, this is important. But you've got to understand faith to understand Romans chapter 6. If you don't understand faith, then you can't understand Romans chapter 6. Because he's asking you to accept it by faith. He uses the word reckon it. That's a faith statement. Faith, reckon. All right, it says, in the beginning, John 1 verse 1. Now watch. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word... All right, now that is a math equation. The Word equals God. Isn't that what it's saying? Anybody having any problem with that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's a math equation. So anything that you add or subtract over here, guess what? You understand? It's an equation. You can't just do what you want. Terry, would you go get us an NIV out of the thing? I think we got different versions. Grab a couple if we got a couple different versions. I won't do this long, but it's very important. People say, well, you're just being a hard nose. Look, I'm trying to get you to believe the Bible. Why? If you start questioning whether God said that or said this or you're not sure, what have you done? Did you say that, Patty? That's exactly it. And doubt is the opposite of faith. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the real stuff of things hoped for. You see? Evidence of things not seen. The point that I'm trying to make is you've got to determine what it is you believe. You know? Because when we start to get into Romans chapter 6, go back to Romans, hold on to John 1. We're going to turn right back as soon as Terry gets in here. If he ever gets in, he may flee. Everyone else must be. I'm scaring them to death. Someone says, man, you make it sound like it's imminent. Well, I believe that. It doesn't take lots. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 1 while he's waiting. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. How do you feel about that? I believe it's true. I don't feel one way or the other. I believe it's true. How about you? That's a faith issue. A faith issue. Look at it. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life, like it's happened to you. Like you've been resurrected. How do you do that? By faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You got it? Faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Well, then you got to determine, do you have the Word of God? You got to determine that. You've got to be steadfast in what you believe. You know? You can't say, well, I feel like the other versions are really good. Well, what do the facts say? Now, I can do this without an NIV, a present. Okay? But you guys need to look at these things. You need to look at a couple of these verses. I'm just going to give you a couple of them. Go to Mark. Would God lie? Now, remember our formula up here. If the Word lies, if the Word does lie, then God has to lie. Now, God said in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that God's not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and will he not do it? I believe that God is not a liar. How many here believe that? Okay, I believe that too. Mark chapter 1, verse 2. All right, everybody there? We don't have a different version of the Bible. There's a hang.
What? It's
hang on. Get the crowd. I'll be right back. I had a, you guys can hear me on the internet. I'm looking in the library real quick. I'll be right back. I know they can. Here it is, right here. What is my old Bible? Yep, we'll need a mic. I've got that. Brenda, here. That's my Bible. I don't know what it's doing up. I don't want it to be used. All right, here we go.
Mary, that's another good one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but we're not doing that here. All right, get Mark chapter 1, verse 2.
Stay on camera 1.
All right, here. Take that over yonder. It's a Terry. All right. Now, the King James says this. Listen to it very carefully. In Mark chapter 1, verse 2. Sorry about, I wasn't going to talk about this, but if we're going to, we need to nail it down. And here it is. It says, as written in the prophets. How many prophets is that? Say more than one. Everybody, more than one. That's right. As it is written in the prophets. Here's the quote. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now, I'm going to let him read Mark chapter 1, verse 2, and then I'm going to give you a bet. I'm a betting man. I'm going to allow you to win $1,000 tonight.
Hang on, brother. You got $1,000?
Brother, I got more than $1,000. I'm not. Hey, there might be a few things I am, fat and ugly, but I ain't broke. You know, it would be worse, fat, ugly, and broke.
Well, they must have corrected this one.
Well, you're looking at the kids.
I'm looking at the wrong version. I'm looking at the right version.
Is this on?
Yeah.
It's on.
Oh, yeah, it's going over the internet.
Okay.
So now he's going to read Mark chapter 1 in the NIV and the other translations. Go ahead.
Okay. Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in.
Well, now stop. Prepare thy way. You got it? Before thee. You got it? Now, it said it's written in Isaiah, didn't it? I would give you $1,000. Are you listening to me, Sterling? Good way to pick up some Christmas money. $1,000 if you can find that. Where did it say it was written?
Isaiah.
It said it was written in Isaiah. But if it wasn't written in Isaiah, then that would be a lie, right? If it was written somewhere else, but the Bible said it was written in Isaiah, then that would be a what? A lie. Amen?
Amen.
Well, it's not in Isaiah. It's in Malachi. It's in Malachi 3:1. And verse 3, the next verse, the voice of one crying in the wilderness is in Isaiah, what is it, 40 verse 3? 40 verse 3. Malachi 3 verse 1. How many prophets is that?
Two.
Doesn't that create just a little bit of problem? I mean, just a little bit. That's a huge amount. Because if the Bible's a liar, then how can you trust the Lord? Because then your faith is destroyed because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So you go, well, that's in Isaiah, and you spend your entire life reading Isaiah over and over and over, and you found out that God lied to you. What do you think about that, Sterling? You ever seen that before? Any preacher ever show you that? That's weird, isn't it? I mean, it's there, and people say, well, you're just one of them King James only people. Well, I don't like Bibles that lie to me. Well, let's try another one. Go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Now, there's a list of these, by the way, on the website that you can get. And you can look at it. Print them down. So I would highly recommend you doing that. See what you got going, Dale? This is all because of you, brother. But you're right. It is a good thing. Because people, you know, they want to just say, can't we all just get along? I love my NIV. I love this. Yeah, but it isn't saying the same thing. Let's try another one. Matthew 18, verse 11 in the King James says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Now, I want you to read 10, 11, and 12 in the NIV.
Okay. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owes 100 sheep and one of them wanders,
what happened to 11?
It's not there. It just goes straight from 10 to 12.
Now, come on. You mean they left the verse out? But not only did they leave the number, verse out, they went from 10 to 12. Is that how you count? They left the number 11 completely out.
But it's not an important verse.
For the Son of Man came, and so if it's not important, then 12 should become number
11.
How come they didn't do that? It would mess up the Word of God, which represents the King James Bible. What do you think about that? Just leaving a verse out.
That's what kills me.
Renee, what do you think about that? All right, let's try just a couple more. Go to Luke chapter 2.
Pretty much the most important verse in the Bible.
Well, I'm going to give you one that's even more at the end that I think is probably the most telling. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now, you got to understand, it's a faith issue in Romans 6. Well, if you don't have the Word of God, you ain't got faith. You're believing something, but you're not believing God's Word. Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to get why it is so important.
Do you have a full sermon on this?
I do, and for $49.95, I will get it to you.
On DVD?
Yeah, it's on the web.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, I think there's two or three on the web on it. Isn't there? I think so.
I'll have to look. We've got a bunch.
We do have a bunch.
Before.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary. You recognize this, don't you?
You?
Luke chapter 2, verse 33. And before you read Luke 2:33, who is the father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Is Joseph?
No.
Who is the father?
No.
What happens if they call Joseph his father? That would cause a conflict, because it would mean that Christ is just a...
That's why I like that book.
Yeah.
Because that explains all that.
Well, I'll write you one just like it. Luke 2, no, it's a good book. Luke 2, verse 33. Now watch this. I'm going to read the King James. And Joseph and his mother...
You sure it's Luke 2?
Luke 2, 33. Let me see it. Yeah, it does.
Luke 2,
33.
This goes to 28.
Then turn the page.
Oh, this is weird.
Yeah, you have to actually turn the page occasionally.
I'm not used to four versions.
Well, that's all. You don't have one of those at home? How do you study? I've got, man, that's on my desk, because I want to see what the other versions are saying. That's a quick, easy reference. You can buy those parallel Bibles. They're very, very reasonable. Anyway, Luke 2, verse 33. The King James says, And Joseph and his mother. Why didn't it say his father and his mother? Because his father is who? God. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. All right, read the NIV.
The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him.
Does that bother you? That bothers me. People say, well, you're just one of those kings. Hey, look, I sat down with 81 versions of the Bible over on 2020 Amos Street. I'm not kidding you. We had them spread out and the kids were running, reading each of them. And we were just... we were appalled. Now, the last one I'm going to do before we get on with our sermon, which you guys have cut into, so...
Hey, it's all good.
It is all good. Are those the same?
No.
Can you guys see that?
Yes.
What is this? Faith in Christ. That's your faith, right? You believe in Christ. The faith of Christ is whose faith? His faith, right? Two different faiths. So if we were talking about salvation, or I'm going to use the words so everybody can see it. We were talking about justification, which is salvation. If you're justified, you're saved, right? Go to Galatians chapter 2. Verse 16. Sterling is glad he came tonight.
Yes, sir.
You don't get his information from a lot of churches. In fact, you know what? Most preachers don't even tell you. And you know what? You wouldn't even miss it. You know why? Because if they were preaching Matthew 18, verse 11, they wouldn't use an NIV. They quote a King James. How do I know that? It ain't in the NIV. So, can you live the life without preaching that one verse? Yeah. And you know what? You can. There's 500 omissions left out.
Words changed.
Words changed. That's left out. Yeah, there's a pamphlet and it's on the web. I'm just telling you, it makes a difference. Because when you get to Romans 6, you've got to have complete confidence in the book. You know what this church is really all about? Becoming a Bible-believing saint of Almighty God. Hey, I don't need a following. You don't need to follow me. I'll lead you right into the wrong direction. The Word is perfect. God's perfect. I believe the Word's perfect. People say, well, I just use it. I go into Bible stores all the time. You can ask Brendan. When I go into a Bible store, I hang out at the Bibles and I watch people read. Oh, I think I'll get this for Junior. And it's so easy to read. It's the New English Speaking Version and this NIV. And I said, well, you know, it would be easy to read if it had all the verses. Oh, I think this is a complete Bible. And I said, well, why don't you read me Matthew 18, verse 11? Mm-hmm. It's not in there. Well, how about Acts 8, 37? They probably just left one out. And I'd go through four or five that they left completely out. And the lady says, I've never heard this. I've been in church all my life. The devil sure is good, ain't he? Doesn't make a difference to anybody. Galatians chapter 2, everybody there? Remember faith of and faith in. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. You're not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Whose faith are you justified by? Yours? His. Even we believe in Jesus Christ that we might be justified. Would our faith justify us? No, he's clarifying that in this next part. Even we believe in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. You got it? How are you justified? Could you be justified by your own faith? No, he's saying even we believe in Jesus that we might be justified by His faith. You got it? And not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. What does the NIV say?
Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law.
Now, you know what that is? Two different salvations. One is saying you're justified by faith in Christ. See, they believe you're saved by you believing in Jesus Christ. You know whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not won't save you? If what His faith didn't do for you at Calvary, all your belief could be in vain. And that's what Romans, or 1 Corinthians 15 talks about. You all understand? If Christ be not raised from the dead, then your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins, the Bible says. The faith of Christ is completely different. We're justified because He believed God the Father took Him, crucified Him, would raise Him up from the dead, and God did. We're saved by the faith of Christ. Renee, did you get it? Sterling, you got it?
Yes, sir.
Patty? Dale? Jean? Mary? Now, is this a big deal? It is the difference between going to heaven and going to hell. It is like preaching. Faith in Christ is like trying to preach the death, burial, and the resurrection. Can the death, burial, and resurrection save you?
No.
It's not until the Pauline gospel gets spread that is the death, the burial, and the resurrection with the what? You like that, don't you? What is the S factor? That Christ died for our sins. You know what? It says in Hebrews that the devil believes in God and trembles. You know what he doesn't have? The S factor. You with me? The S factor. Now, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 4. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. How do you feel about that? You know what? I believe God said it, and it's true. Do I feel like I'm in heaven? No, my feelings are mucked up with the emotions of this life. You know what my emotions are like? A roller coaster. Hey, listen, as you get older, I think you get in touch with your feminine side. I'm just, you know, I even cry at stupid movies. You know, I went to that stupid dog movie. What's the name of that? Marley and Me? And I was sitting next to Stan, and I thought I was going to get drenched. And more, he cried. I mean, he cried like, and the more he cried, the more I cried. Except I tried to do this. Brenda's over there going, we're staying on one side and Brenda on the other. And I'm...
Somebody got a hold of it.
That was a good movie, wasn't it? No, I cried. But you can't confuse what the Word of God says with your emotions. God said it, therefore it's true. So I don't feel like it. You know what? It doesn't really matter about your feelings. It's a matter of what God says. You need to believe God's Word. He said, I've been buried with Him by baptism into death. Is that true? Amen. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, were you?
Yes.
We shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Amen. Just like He came up from the grave, up from the grave He arose. Well, so will you.
That's right.
And so are you. So, hold on to here and go to Ephesians chapter 2. Hold on, we're coming right back. This took me a little while. This takes a little bit of Christian faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians 2, verse 4. Hope you guys are getting it on the internet. This wasn't what I was going to preach on, but I think it will work out okay. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, I love that, isn't that? but God. Everything's bad. Then it gets to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherein He loved us. Isn't that the most incredible? You know what? That's a fact. You know what you can do with facts? Believe them. You can prove them. That's exactly right. Now watch this. Even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened together, quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together. Going to? Which one is that? Already done. Say it done. And done. Raised us up together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are you, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are you seated right now? People always say, well, I don't know if I believe that once saved, always saved. Well, you don't believe that verse then. You know what it says? He has raised you up and you're sitting together in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. Going to be?
Already.
You know why? Because of Romans chapter 6. Mm-hmm. How could you lose your salvation if you're already there? Well, you cussed. To hell! You coveted. To hell! There's two doors to hell. You're already there. Listen, everybody take a deep breath. You know what? If you're lost here, you're lost because you've decided not to believe the Bible. If you're saved, you're saved because you did believe the Bible.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing. So how do you get saved? By faith. You hear the Word of God, a preacher comes out and preaches it. You see it in the Word, and you believe it. Upon that moment of belief, God already saw you before the foundation of the world, that you died, you were buried, and that you rose again, and you're seated right now at the right hand of God.
See, I don't see how people argue that point anyway.
Well, that
if you just read 1:13 and then it tells you you're sealed.
That's true. But let me show you why. Because they don't rightly divide. Remember, they weren't taught that there were different gospels, right?
That's right.
Go to Hebrews. This is why. Yeah, go to Hebrews chapter 6. Yeah, but look at what else it says. Now, how many here have a Bible that says that Paul wrote Hebrews? Even King James say it. You know, so they read Hebrews 6. Turn to Hebrews 6, and this is where the confusion comes in. What does yours say?
Written by an unknown author in an unknown place.
That's exactly what it should say. But many of them have Paul. Renee, what did yours say? Written by Paul, the apostle to the Hebrews. The epistle to the Hebrews.
Well, at the top it says the apostle of Paul, the apostle to the Hebrews.
Yeah, that's not true. The author is unknown. Now, I can prove that to you in just a minute. This is turning out more on the King James Bible than Romans 6, but you'll get the point of the mixing of the two. Hebrews 6. Verse 4. Hebrews 6, verse 4. Everybody there? Sterling is not there yet. You there? Yeah, there? All right, good. For it is impossible. How is it?
Impossible.
Say it louder.
Impossible.
It's impossible. What does that mean?
Ever.
Now watch. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, that is, and had tasted of the heavenly gifts, that is, they were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted of the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Now that is a long sentence, and there is a lot of commas. And if you take out the first statement and the last statement, and you take out everything out, this becomes this. You with me? And it will still make a sentence. So we're going to do that. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, verse 6, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Can a person in Hebrews, if they tasted the heavenly gift, got saved and then went into sin, could they survive that?
No.
No. They cannot. Yikes. You understand? Example of that would be Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. Write that in. An example of this is Ananias, Acts chapter 5. And they had the Holy Ghost. They'd been baptized. They sold it. They tasted of the heavenly gifts. But you know what? They kept back part of the money. And you know what? There wasn't any reason to get them to repent. So you know what Peter did? Huh? He did. He fried them. Oh, yeah, that's close. But you can go there and get it. But you know, the point that I'm trying to make is, how do you have eternal security of Romans chapter 6 at the same time you're reading Hebrews chapter 6? And you know what the answer is? You can't. You can't. Who is your apostle?
Paul.
Paul. You sure?
Yes.
You feel it's right?
I know it's right.
Why? Romans 11, verse 13, Romans 15, 16, you know, 1 Timothy chapter. I know. I can turn to the pages and show you. And Hannah said a very important thing. Facts you can always prove. Okay? Very important. How can we prove that? If we add it back, it's got to equal what?
12.
That's called proof. Facts always prove themselves out.
I missed it. What were you arguing about the verse, though?
Hebrews chapter 6, those people in Hebrews 6 have no eternal security. The people in Romans 6 are already there. You've got eternal security. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus.
They have to wait for the seal too. We get it
the moment we're saved. The point that I'm trying to make is you have to take that by faith. Well, I know there's more than one gospel. We're working on that on Sunday, right? Anybody got a fact that you think there's more than one gospel? There's at least a couple.
So in other words, you don't believe Paul.
No, and let me prove that to you. Remember, facts can always be what?
Proven.
Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You want to take over from here, Terry? You could do this. That's true. Watch this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'm going to prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Therefore, you will have to believe it. Oh, hey, you girls, come here. You can hold it for another 10 minutes. We got 7 minutes. You don't need to go that bad. Look, if you go to the bathroom before you come in, and the bathroom when you go out, let me tell you, it will be okay.
You can make an hour.
You can make 1 hour. It distracts me and it distracts the people on the internet and other people. You got to. Yeah, that was bad. I was rebuking you too. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 17. For the salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. He said every epistle has my signature on it.
Right.
All right, let's start in Romans. Go to Romans chapter 1. Aren't you glad you showed up tonight? You didn't miss this. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Now you guys are going to have to turn like lightning, so get ready. We're going to go to the first chapter of each And we're going to do it 13 times, so you got to do it quick. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and separated unto the gospel of God. What did it say?
Paul.
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 1,
Paul,
called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Zenothius, our brother, Paul. Who said wrote it?
Paul.
Go to 2 Corinthians 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look what it says. Verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. You got it? Who wrote it?
Paul.
Go to Galatians, the next book. And go to Galatians chapter 1. Verse 1. Galatians 1, verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who hath raised him from the dead. Who wrote it?
Paul.
Go, if you will, to Ephesians, the next book. Ephesians chapter 1. You starting to get a picture here? There's a pattern. He said this is a sign. I wrote my name on every epistle, so I write. Paul, the salutation. Here it is. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul. Who wrote the book of Ephesians?
Paul.
Go, if you will, to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Philippians 1, verse 1. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, to all the saints. Who wrote it?
Paul.
Go, if you will, to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Who wrote Colossians?
Paul.
Paul. Go, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. What do you think it's going to say?
Paul.
You're right.
2
Thessalonians. What do you think it's going to say?
Paul.
Yes. How about 1 Timothy?
Paul.
How about 2 Timothy?
Paul.
Yes, 2 Timothy says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Titus, what do you think it's going to say?
Paul.
Paul, a servant of God and an apostle. Philemon, what do you think it's going to say?
Paul.
And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says what, Sterling?
God.
Did Paul write Hebrews?
No.
Was Paul the apostle to the Hebrews?
No.
Would Paul have written the Hebrews about being a Hebrew?
No.
Why? What was Paul?
Apostle.
The apostle of the Gentiles. Write this right by your note where it says the epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Hebrews. Write Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 16. Verse 15, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. And 2 Timothy 1, verse 11. Now there's four places that Paul says he's the apostle to the Gentiles. Why would he all of a sudden say God sent me to the Hebrews? Not only that, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 17, what does it say? The salutation of my own name I used in every epistle.
And Paul's name isn't even anywhere in the letter.
Not one place.
Now, if you were going to guess,
probably Luke. And by the way, you all know Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke wasn't one of the 12 apostles. Okay. He was a doctor. Physician. Now, yeah, not one time, Paul, in all 13 epistles. I mean, there's so much evidence. I can do a whole sermon on that. But the point, go back to Romans chapter 6. I am sweating up a storm up here. Is it hot?
No.
You, You, Pat, you missed it. Sunday, you could blow smoke out your mouth.
He said it was snowing near Sunday.
Oh, really?
Romans chapter 6, let's end. I want to end on time here tonight.
It's actually cool in here.
We're going to
Let's do verse 5 again. Romans 6, verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this. Doubting it?
Knowing it.
You know, that's when the Bible uses a term like, you ought to know. Like Romans 8:28. We know that all things. We know. You know what that is? That's a faith statement. We know it's by faith. We believe it. God said it. That's enough for us. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Is it?
Yes.
But I see your old man. I see it act up. I get all emotional about it. Well, that person cussed. That person cursed. Why? Have you seen that person smoke outside? What a sinner. Sinner. Amen? And all the time you're driving by that big old mansion and in your heart it's just covetousness filled through and through. Or you see that young chick or that young dude, and if you're a weirdo, you like the young dudes too, you know? Sinner. And you know what? I've been raised together to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if by faith I take that. Say, well, you're bad. Yep. Amen. People say, I don't even like you, Barry. Hey, welcome. Join the Welcome Hate Barry Club. Yeah, that's what we need. I Hate Barry Group. You know what? God said in Galatians chapter 4, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, I'll reveal things about you that you yourself won't even admit. And amen, it does. I'll never forget, I was 310 pounds and my brother-in-law came up to me and he said, Barry, you have gotten fat. What do you mean? What do you mean? You know, when I should have said, yep, I'm fat.
Yep.
But at least I ain't seeing you ugly. No, I told him.
Your mic fell.
Sure did.
What?
Your mic fell. So, I'm going to get it, lost it. Sure did.
Sorry about that. I tucked it a little too deep in my pants. Hello? All right. What, the hairy chest is too much for you, huh? What? Picky. Yeah, I bet you'll run home and join the group. Those are Nate Barry's Facebook group. You know what? My sins have been paid for one time at Calvary. Every one of them. You know, it is a faith issue. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Say, well, I'm not sure about that thing. Then you're lost. Yeah, I got baptized just in case he didn't do enough at Calvary. You know what? You have already been raised up from the ground. And he said you should walk in newness of life. Now watch this. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man is crucified with Him. Can someone say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
That the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin, For he that is dead is free from sin. If you died with Jesus Christ, isn't that what he just said? You're free from it. Why don't you release yourself of it right now? You don't have to be a good little boy or little girl. What you need is a Savior. What you need is Jesus Christ. Gosh, the world is so messed up. And partly because Satan has come in with all these different versions of the Bible and people go, I don't know what to believe. Over here it says one thing. Over here it says another.
Right.
Well, that starts to create doubt, doesn't it?
Right.
You think God's the author of confusion?
No.
He says it in Corinthians that he's not. 34. You know, I've got my job up here, although we joke around sometimes, is to get you to believe that book.
Right.
And if I've done that, that's all I can do. People ask me all the time, say, preacher, can I talk to you and learn your faith? You can't.
Nope.
But I can tell you how you have your own faith. Mm-hmm. And your own faith is coming to church, but not to hear me preach, but to hear the Word of God preach.
That's right.
Well, what about a church that has 4 15-20 minute songs? You know, they're out 30 minutes singing. And then they have a 15-minute sermonette, one little scripture. How is that building your faith? Do you think they would ever show you Matthew 18, verse 11 was missing?
No.
Or Acts 2:33, it says his father and his mother, the child's father and his mother? I doubt it. You guys need to realize what you got here. And you know what you need to do? You need to drag another person. Drag one. I kind of like the Bertha Butt message back in that old song. Says, just grab her by the head and bring her in the cave. Whatever it takes, you want to get people to believe this book. Whether you're here or out there in the public. And you know what? Most people don't know anything about the Bible, I can assure you.
That's right.
I love you guys. I love you tuning in. I'm sorry I went 4 minutes long, but I wanted to take after Terry. One of my mentors. I'm kidding. You guys have a great night. Appreciate you being here. Make sure you greet everybody, hug them, share with them, love them. See you later.